Okay, the Senate Judiciary Committee is called to order. I am present, of course. The chairwoman, Senator Lisa McGuire, my vice chair, Senator John Coghill is present, Senator Peter Michicki, and Senator Bill Wilikowski. And so we do have a quorum to conduct business. We have three issues on our agenda today. The first is going to be the matter of Senate Bill 35, which is the 2015 Revisers Bill. We have Lisa Kirsch here, the Assistant Reviser of Statutes, to present it. Next, we're going to go to the confirmation of the Chief Justice's nominations for the public members to the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics that oversees us. And those two gentlemen that are on, they'll be online today as opposed to in person, Dennis Skip Cook and Herman G. Walker. And then finally, we're going to take up the new draft of Senate Bill 30, the marijuana bill. And I wanted to let you know, we have Jeff Pickett, who is a lawyer to this committee and to my other committee, the Admin Reg Review Committee, who's been reviewing the bill and working with Hillary Martin on this new draft. So he's going to be online and say a few words. And Hillary Martin, who we've heard from here in this committee, will also be online. And they're going to give a basic overview of the concept behind this bill and how it comports with what members of the Senate wanted to see and the initiative sponsors in terms of drafting styles as compared to the original version of Senate Bill 30. And then Wednesday and Thursday will be all Senate Bill 30 from here on out. So at the top of the hour on Wednesday, we'll go through the sectional. But so just to kind of give you an idea that today is a little bit more, 35,000 feet, and then Wednesday at 1:30 we'll dive right into the more of the specifics, and Senator Costello has joined us. And then just to let you guys a little bit of personal business, I gave you each a gift of a Black's Law Dictionary to use this session, to use for your life, basically. And then these little field manuals, which I think are really helpful. This is the 2015 edition, and they're little flip notes. And if you get to the front, you can see they give all of the criminal statutes surmised, Title IV, Title 11, et cetera, robbery, all those kinds of things, and the offenses associated with them. So those are on your desk as well. So without further ado, I'd like to have Lisa Kirsch come forward and put your name on the record for us and tell us about the revisers bill. Welcome to Senate Judiciary.
Thank you. As Senator McGuire said, my name is Lisa Kirsch. I am an assistant reviser with Legal and Research Services, which is a section of Legislative Affairs Agency. The revisers bill, as some of you probably already know, is a cleanup bill that allows us to correct and remove deficiencies or conflicts, obsolete provisions, to try and improve the form of statutes. We do stay away from making any substantive changes. We have a statutory section in Title I that allows us to make this type of change, which often are typographical errors or drafting errors or citation changes when the numbering is incorrect, or if there's a statute, federal statute or a state statute that's renumbered and the corresponding cross-reference doesn't get changed. We work with the publishers, to produce the Alaska statutes, and we make every effort we can to correct things and catch things before they get into the Alaska statutes. But this bill is our annual opportunity to correct any problems that creep in spite of our best efforts. And some of the changes in this particular bill, there are some corrections of citations to federal law. There are some court rule citations that were not in the correct form, so the format of those citations is corrected. There are a couple of spots where singular has become plural or plural has become singular because of the way it fits within the context of the sentence. There are a few instances of the words including but not limited to, and we have a provision in Title I that allows us within the Alaska statutes to eliminate but not limited to, because including is held to mean within the Alaska statutes, but not limited to, that phrase is impliedly included. so we don't need to write it out in full in every single statute where it might apply. A couple of spots where there was a missing the or with was, you know, prepositions occasionally get left out. Other than that, just basic punctuation or word usage changes. So I can answer any specific questions you might have about the process or about the bill in particular, but that's the general overview.
So, and I'll just ask you on the record, thank you for the overview. Members have in their notebooks a sectional that's very detailed along with the bill. And what I had said, what we discussed at the start of the meeting, was I didn't think there was anything in it, but members wanted to allow it to marinate a little bit. So we'll move it out this week, but this is there for you and your staff to look through and be sure that there isn't anything that you have an issue with. But I always like to just ask on the record if there's anything in here that is a substantive change, a policy-like change that would ordinarily go through as a separate bill.
No, we try very hard to avoid that, but of course there can be differences of opinion in the interpretation of the statute always, so that's why we go through this process, and if any of you have questions for me, feel free to contact me this week if they come up later.
Excellent. Senator Machicki.
I have a quick question. That is, what would be the process if you identified a section where the existing code was in conflict with the new code and it required a statute, legislative fix, if you will?
Well, you mean like with the current, through the chair, Senator Machicki, you mean with the current statutes as they stand or with the bill that you're currently in the process of putting forward?
Well, I guess the better example is a bill passed. Most of the reconciliation you did was because of the 28th legislature, I assume. So as you're bringing the sets of legislation together and you're revising, if you run into two places where they conflict, is there a process for that that might require a legislative fix? Have you run into that in the past?
Senator Machicki, through the chair, yes, those things do occur occasionally, and it might be something that can be revised through the revisor's bill. If it's what we call a manifest error, it's clearly a complete mistake. You know, we can look back to earlier versions of the bill and see that maybe a typographical error came in. But if it is a conflict that requires legislation, well, then it requires legislation. There's not much that revisers can do to correct that. Ordinarily, the way that might come up would be if a legislator is revising that area of law, that chapter or that section, we would likely write them a memo and say, hey, there is this conflict that we're aware of. Would you like to correct it while we're in there?
Senator Carkill.
Thank you, and appreciate the work you do. On the sectional, you had one of the first things I look at in a bill is what's being deleted. Mm-hmm. And you gave a really good description of what's being deleted, but not why. Mm-hmm. Can you give us just kind of rundown under the last section, which is section 62? No, I'm sorry, the deleted sections. I guess that would be 61, right? Section 61. It just deleted, looks like, bond committee, vehicle salesperson, and subdivision. Could you just give us the why? Are they obsolete or what?
Through the chair, Senator Carlkiel, those are definitions, all three of them. If you look at the very end of your sectional, the things that we have repealed and completely removed from statute are printed out in full. And those are four different definitions that are no longer used. In the case of the first one, which is 1975-980, paragraph 4, that had to do with the Kubota project.
Okay.
They lost their bonding authority, and all the provisions related to bonding were deleted, and the definition didn't get deleted of bond committee. So that is a definition that's no longer necessary because those sections were removed. Motor vehicle salesperson, which is the next term that's defined, there was an earlier version of the bill that used motor vehicle salesperson, but it was edited out, and then the definition again just remained as an artifact of that earlier version.
Got it.
And the bill passed without that term in it. And so that's been there for some time, actually, since 2002, and no one had noticed it. The next one is a definition for subdivision, and that one, it was repealed. Let's see, it appeared in one place, and then that provision was repealed. So again, it's a term that's no longer used within the context of the part of the statutes that term is defined for.
Okay. All right. And then I ask this in the Lex Council, just explain the effective date clauses, because one is effective immediately, one in July, and
right.
I think it's just, once again, good to remind the committee of why that got there.
Yes. Through the chair, Senator Coghill, that would be Section 35, and that one I added a little bit more description in the sectional because of the question you had asked earlier. That section needs a special effective date. It's a long list of different groups, and there's an addition that takes effect this year, I believe. Let's see, where's the last page? So what's happening is on July 1st, 2015, there's another item being added to the list, and so then the list has to be renumbered and corrected. And so instead of having this section be amended once when the revisor's bill takes effect and then again on July 1st, 2015, we just had Section 35 take effect on July 1, 2015, so that section can be just amended once rather than twice.
And the bill was, in fact, enrolled, right? I mean, it was voted, signed on by the governor, it's in place.
Yes, that's correct.
So, and that just caught my attention early on. So other than that...
Ms. Kurtz, any... I'd like to add it to the record if the answer is yes. Has there been any correspondence, written or verbal, with any member of the legislature to include recommendations in the revisor's bill?
Senator McGuire, I can't say with absolute certainty whether or not that's true, and the reason is that I receive lots of little slips of paper throughout the year that I put into a little folder that are suggestions that come from attorneys within our office generally, but they may have been alerted to the problem by a legislator,
okay,
and then they wrote me a note. So I might not know. To my knowledge, none of these came from a specific legislator, but I could be mistaken about that because I'm getting information from a variety of sources.
Okay, and that's a fine answer, so long as what you're saying is equal opportunity, you've got some sort of a container, people are throwing in suggestions. What I mean to say is if there's any communication that's written or that was taken orally by anyone about a substantive matter with a lawmaker, then I'd want that to be a part of the public record so that we would know, you know, what that was.
Senator McGuire, there are, of course, confidentiality issues for us in our communications with our clients.
Okay.
So to the extent that it's an attorney-client communication with one of your body as a client, I probably couldn't reveal that if I did know it. In this instance, I don't know that any of these came from some written communication from a legislator.
Okay. Well, I'll think a little bit about how to handle that. I, in the years that we've had this, you know, we try to keep it mischief-free, but every once in a while, a revisor's bill will make it out with some difference of opinion that a lawmaker might have held that they want to come back and take a second stab at through a document that is big, cumbersome, not subject to the normal hearing process in terms of elevating the subject matter. And that's, I just want to say that caveat, that's the nature of the genesis of the dialogue I'm having with you, is that if there would be a conversation with somebody and an attempt to put something in here that was really more policy directed by somebody who was elected, that would be the kind of thing that I think the public would want to know about. So let me think a little bit about the attorney-client privilege part a little bit more, and we can talk after. But that's the reason I'm asking that question. Senator Wilikowski?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and these are always big. Usually, there's usually not anything too controversial, but every now and then we do find something that we consider policy, and we have stricken things out in the past. On page, if I could, are we going into the specifics of the bill, Madam Chair? I've got
yeah,
a couple questions.
Absolutely.
Okay, so on page 3, page 19, and page 33, you are removing the terms "but not limited to," and maybe you could just talk a little bit about the, and let's start with page 3. Talk a little bit about what you're doing there, and I guess one concern is the legislature, when they wrote "but not limited to," probably meant a wide spectrum of things, and by taking those words out, I'm wondering if we're actually limiting it to those specific things. So maybe you could address that, please.
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, there is a statutory provision in Title I. It's in 01, Chapter 10, Section 040, Subsection B, and the way it reads is as follows, at least the relevant portion. When the words "includes" or "including" are used in a law, they shall be construed as though followed by the phrase "but not limited to." So we take out the words "but not limited to" because this provision applies throughout the Alaska statutes. Oh. So the meaning is not changed by taking those words out. So that's why we have done that. Now, of course, if there is concern within this body to leave the terms in, we can certainly strike a provision that in particular raises concerns. But that's why we take that language out.
In other words, that's an overarching. We do have these discussions. I was trying to explain to some reporters about the marijuana, the decriminalization bill, and drafting styles, and you have a drafting manual and guidelines, and what you're saying is there are overarching principles that are embedded, and so that it's redundant. It's redundant when you say that. You can put it in. It emphasizes it, I guess, but it's already read that way.
Senator McGuire, that is correct, and this is in statute. This is not the drafting manual. This is actually in Title I of the Alaska statutes.
Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. Page 7, there's a pretty lengthy addition there in paragraph N. Could you explain what you're doing there?
Through the chair, Senator Wilikowski, that is responsive to the previous section. Okay. There are two sections. The first one is section 10. And section 10 on page 4 of the draft lists those things that are required to appear in the Articles of Incorporation. So it lists the Articles of Incorporation must set out, and then there's a numbered paragraph setting out all the things that the Articles of Incorporation must include. This particular paragraph is permissive. It's something that may be included in the Articles of Incorporation. So it is deleted on page 5 of the draft, and then continuing, just the bottom of page 5. It's removed from the mandatory provisions, and then the provision you were talking about over here in section 11 is adding it to the optional provisions, which appear in 10.06-10, puts it in as new paragraph, capital N, in the optional provisions, those things that may appear in your Articles of Incorporation.
That's a good answer. It took a long time for me to catch the if and the may.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the may and shall.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so what we could do, it is a big bill, is go ahead and rather than take your time here now, why don't we go ahead and set this aside, allow the policymakers here to go ahead and review this. And really, I echo Senator Wilikowski's comments. We have changed revisers' bills. We've uncovered places where we have a difference of opinion, and you are looking for those places where you would have had a healthy debate with a fellow lawmaker about something. And so let's go ahead and thank you very much, Lisa. We appreciate it, Ms. Kurtz. And we'll pull this to the side and bring this back up again later this week. Okay, that'll give us time to look at these things. Okay, so we'll set Senate Bill 35 to the side and go ahead then. And just so you know what I'm doing with this, we are a test committee, right? So we are one of just a couple of committees trying out a new system where instead of the printouts, we get it on an iPad. And so I can see, so bear with me as I learn this, I can see who is called in from the public and then for what subject. And in theory, it's right. So I'm now going to, and it just lit up green, so I'm going to Herman Walker, who is our friend Herman, who's on the Ethics Committee. He has been, congratulations, I think you're going to say yes, congratulations. You've been reappointed by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Alaska to serve on the Select Committee for Legislative Ethics. And his resume is in your packet. And so, Herman, tell us a little bit about serving, how long you've served, and why you want to do it again.
Well, I think I've been on the committee since 2002, and I actually, to be honest with everybody, I had to really think about whether I wanted to be on it again, because I've been on it for a long time, and then I talked to Joyce, and I talked to several other members of the community and my family, and after discussing it with them, I felt that with my institutional memory, my experience, it's not an easy job when you're interpreting the statutes as they are written. And so I felt that at this time that my need to assist the community and assist the state in this fashion was, I still had the fire for it. And so that's why I'm still on.
Well, I would agree, Herman, and I appreciate we had for the public watching and listening, every year the executive director for the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics will come and do legislative training for staff and members. It's mandatory for us to attend. And something that is always quite an honor is that the commissioners themselves come and sit in on the session so that they can hear the questions that are being asked. And there are always questions, and Herman is one of those that has such a wealth of knowledge based on his service to the state of Alaska that it would be hard to think about you facing the upcoming issues that are out there, the commission facing them without you. So I thank you for your service, Herman. Questions from members of the committee? Senator Coghill.
Just a note of gratitude. I get to work with Mr. Walker. And I appreciate the sense of duty and the institutional memory. Just to remind those who are listening in, we have a new executive director, and I think that is why this is so important. So, and I've helped think through some of the conundrums that have had to come through that committee. And so, I appreciate your work, Herman, and thanks for hanging in there. And I hope it goes well for you.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Herman? Okay, well, I'll let you know we've got a letter coming to you, and we've been working with you here in the Senate Judiciary Committee on the subject that we talked about of redistricting and communication with constituents. So I'll let you know that that's on its way to you. I'm sure you're overjoyed to hear that.
You already put me to work, huh?
We're putting you to work. As if you don't have enough going on in your own law practice, you and your wife.
I'm getting ready to walk out of here to a court hearing at 2:30, actually.
Okay. Well, you take care, Herman. I certainly appreciate you being available today. Okay.
Thank you, sir, committee. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Next, we're going to go to Dennis Skip Cook, who's from my vice chairman's neck of the woods and also has been serving, I don't know if it's as long as Herman, but I think it's right in the zone there. So, Dennis, tell us why you want to serve on the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics again.
Well, actually, I've served since 1998, so I think I'm the veteran right now on the committee.
There you go. So even longer.
I've enjoyed both the people I've worked with and the issues that have come before us. It's a challenge, and there are important issues that come before the committee. It's a wonderful opportunity to work with both public members and the legislators. I enjoy the training aspect of the work and the sort of we've moved over the years to sort of a more sort of preventative function through the training and through the informal advice that we offer through our administrator, and then the adjudicative of functions too. Some of them have been difficult and taxing, but that's all right. That it's a challenge. Probably my agreeing to serve again was due to the transition. I think it's important that we do have some continuity during this transitory period. I was through it once before when Susie Barnett left and Joyce came, and I know that it can be a kind of a difficult time, and one where continuity is helpful.
Absolutely. I would echo that. And I, too, want to say thank you, Mr. Cook, Dennis, for being in the room for our legislative training all these years and, you know, talking with members and trying to answer their questions and dialoguing. And, you know, what you find is most of the time people mean well, but they need to know what the rules are, and there are places where it's hard to interpret. And we have a lot of freshmen this year, so thank you guys for coming down and being a part of the training. I really appreciate your service to the state.
Thank you.
So questions, any other questions from members?
I had a general comment.
Senator Michicki.
Just for Mr. Walker, I know he's now gone, and Mr. Cook, I've gone to the committee for several opinions in my short time here in the legislature, 2 years, and in both cases, it's important for me to understand sort of the sideboards while we're serving in the legislature, and I know that both of those opinions took a lot of time and effort, and I do believe they do a pretty incredible job on helping us and the public understand the expectations under the Legislative Ethics Act. But I do have one question for Mr. Cook, and that is, Mr. Cook, I'm an alternate on ethics this year, and I had a legislator come to me who was approached by ethics staff this year about a potential issue, and it took him quite some time, and this ended up being sort of a non-issue, but it took quite some time for staff to sort of inform him about the actual nature of the question. And it seems to me like there may be perhaps a gap in the procedure in contacting legislators while you're sort of evaluating such a question that may be sort of a better presentation as opposed to keeping someone hanging for some time. And could you comment on that? And if you think that there may be some room for improvement in that procedure or that process?
I'm not clear specifically of what issue you're talking about, but I can say that this past year has been rather difficult for the committee because we had Joyce Anderson, you know, resigned fairly early last year, and we went through a hiring process and hired a successor who lasted only a very short while. And then we had to go through the hiring process again. And so there have been two transitions in this year. One is still going on. It's rather new transition. And I know that there are some rough spots, and I apologize for that. But I think some of the problems in communications have been due to the fact that we had an unsuccessful hiring, and we had to pull Joyce back in, and she's working on contract to assist in this transition in both these cases, but the first one just did not work out, and so we're back in transition mode again. So I'm hopeful that we can avoid the kinds of problems you're referring to.
And Mr. Cook, if I may, Madam Chair, I, of course, couldn't be more specific. Just due to the nature of the interest of the individual legislator, but you know, it may be worthwhile. I would assume that you're going to be confirmed. You've done some great work, but it may be worthwhile for sort of a clear-cut procedure for contact with the legislator. I mean, I'm under the assumption that everyone in this building is operating honorably. And, this person was a little bit shaken up for a little while before realizing it ended up not being an issue. But just worthwhile, I think, of consideration moving forward, perhaps.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and we'll be watchful.
Very, very good feedback. I also wanted to let members know that Jerry Anderson is available for questions. He is the new executive director for the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. And Jerry, we thank you for taking the job and sticking with it. It's a hard job. I wasn't surprised to see your predecessor finally retire. It is public service, and so I thank you for being willing to take the job. Are there questions for either Jerry Anderson or for Skip Cook? Many other members? Okay, well, go Bearcats. I'll say that to Skip. We always have that in common. For those of you that don't know what a Bearcat is, neither do we, but if you graduated from Willamette College of Law, you're a Bearcat. So, right?
Right.
So, well, thank you very much to both of you, and we'll take a brief at ease and get the form associated with your confirmations. Brief at ease. I am moving and asking unanimous consent that we move forward the two names that we have had today for public members on the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics, the name of Dennis Skip Cook, the name of Herman G. Walker, Jr., forward to the full body from the Senate Judiciary Committee. And, of course, in accordance with 2460-130, we've reviewed the qualifications of these members, but this does not reflect an intent of any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the individuals during any further sessions. Okay? And now we're going to go to Senate Bill 30, and I'd like to start by having Jeff Pickett, who is on the line. Jeff, I wanted to have you just introduce yourself a little bit to the committee. I've known you for years. You're a wonderful lawyer, member of the bar there, but you're going to be of service to this committee in various capacities, and I just wanted you to introduce yourself before you give statements about the marijuana legislation. And if you'd put your name on the record as well.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. Yes, to the committee, my name is Jeff Pickett. I'm an attorney in Alaska. I graduated from the University of Washington Law School in 1996 and have been practicing pretty much nonstop since then, first in Washington State, now when my wife and I moved to Alaska in 1998, I believe. I've had the privilege of working with Senator McGuire on an issue or two in the past, and I'm looking forward to assisting the committee going forward.
Excellent. And so you've been in receipt of the new draft and reviewed the old draft, and if you wanted to just give kind of an overarching statement about where we were and where we're headed.
Sure, Madam Chair. I have reviewed both drafts, and the original draft or one of the very earliest versions, basically it was structured in a way so that the conduct that ballot measure 2 made legal, the Senate bill, early Senate bill draft, changed essentially or drafted it in a way so that anybody charged with a crime or an offense would have an affirmative defense to that charge. And that raised some concerns, primarily, I believe, among the sponsors of the ballot measure, because in their view, and probably rightly so, it does that structure places the onus on the person involved with a marijuana activity that is being made legal as a result of the initiative, places the onus on them and the expense to them of defending themselves by asserting this affirmative defense. So the later version of the bill that we're all reviewing right now changes that structure and affirmatively makes legal the conduct that the initiative described and addressed itself to.
Excellent.
Sorry to interrupt, but I was just going to say, and so obviously there are tons of details, but that is really the overarching, I would say, difference, structural difference between the two, the earliest versions and the current version.
Excellent, and I'm going to go ahead and have Hillary make some opening comments as well, and then allow the lawmakers to ask questions to both of you, either of you. But just to say that the summary that you gave is accurate. This committee, just for the public that may be now tuning in, held a couple of joint committees with the other bodies, Judiciary Committee. We had a version of the Senate Bill 30 that was meant to implement the referendum that legalized marijuana use for adults 21 and older up to 1 ounce. The possession of it, the buying and the selling of it from licensed growers, licensed distributors. And that bill drafting version was done in a way that, as it was described, as Napoleonic versus Anglo-Saxon. So the idea that the conduct was prohibited, but you could defend yourself against it. And there was a feeling among the initiative sponsors who went to the people and got 53% of them to agree yes, that that was a burden that was being placed on individual Alaskans to produce evidence and in a way that was still making an extra barrier they didn't intend for marijuana use for adults. The committee members unanimously agreed that there were some problems with that draft in both the House and the Senate. And so we sent Hillary Martin back to work. She said that we'd like to have a second audition. And so this is her second audition. And it's a chance for us to look at it a little bit differently so that what you have now is the opportunity for Alaskans to simply know that if they are 21 and older, if they have, if they're possessing an ounce of marijuana, and if they have purchased or if they've purchased it with the proper licensing structure that will come later on, that they're okay, that that's part of what we're saying is legal within the state of Alaska. The thing I wanted to point your attention to, though, is that we haven't changed anything in the marijuana definition. That was something that we all agreed was good, that there had been three different marijuana definitions in state law, and it was important that we come up with one general definition that doesn't include, for example, hemp, which was an outlying concern from people in Alaska who engage in that industry. And then we also have retained the references to driving while impaired, but our committee so far has taken the approach that we will use the definition of impaired driving that is currently in Alaska statutes. Given that there are still scientific difficulties with setting particular milligram amounts and so forth that that we would go forward with that. And again, these are all areas where individual members of the Judiciary Committee will have an opportunity to weigh in. And then I just want to make one other comment before I go to Hillary. For those who are listening and watching, the issue of implementing the ballot initiative is complex, and there are many parts and pieces to it. And what I've said before is that here in the Judiciary Committee, our priority then is decriminalization, because on the 24th of February, the initiative made it clear to adults that they would be able to possess that ounce of marijuana. It also, though, made it clear they could buy and sell it. And what I want to make clear on the record, again, for the public watching, is on the 24th of February, you can't just go out and buy marijuana. And so please be careful about that and recognize that that's not what the initiative said. The initiative said you can buy it from a licensed establishment. And the licensing part of it is not in this bill. That's going to be a separate bill that comes from the governor's office. You'll see here in the coming days that will establish a marijuana control board, and that board will go to work defining the requirements associated with obtaining a license to manufacture, to grow, distribute, and sell marijuana. So on the 24th of February, don't be fooled into, I guess I want to just say, someone saying, hey, I'm selling you marijuana, it's legal. That's not accurate. And then to be clear that Senate Bill 30 is not dealing with the licensing structure at all. That's a separate piece of legislation. Okay. So Hillary, and I'd like to move to adopt, I'd like to ask Senator Costello to make a motion.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to adopt the CS for Senate Bill Number 30, Version 29-LS0231/I before the committee.
Is there an objection to adopting the new committee substitute for purposes of committee discussion? Okay, hearing and seeing none, we have Version I in front of us. And next I'll go to Hillary Martin.
Yeah, this is Hillary Martin with Legislative Legal Services. Just to give an overview of what's going on in this draft for the committee, generally what's happening is marijuana, hash, and hash oil have been removed as controlled substances, so they're no longer on the controlled substance schedule. And then there have been a number of amendments made because of that change. So basically wherever controlled substance appears, marijuana is no longer included, so a decision has to be made whether marijuana should be put back into the statute. And then I would say the very important part to look at is in Section 50, it starts on page 29 in this draft, where we have created new marijuana crimes. And so those would be the new crimes that are dealing with marijuana now in the statute. I realize it's a pretty large bill, but that's kind of a bare-bones description of what's going on in this draft.
Okay, excellent. Questions for Ms. Martin or Ms. Pickett? Yes, Senator Costello.
Thank you, through the chair. As we all know, the title of bills dictates what can be included in them, and I just wanted to get on the record that the bill title from the previous version and this version are the same, and that they in fact don't need to be different.
Senator Costello, through the chair, I did look at the title in drafting this new version. Relating to marijuana does in fact cover a large amount of what is going on. So I think I have looked at the title. I think it's fairly descriptive. I can certainly look at it again if there are other questions about it. But
Senator Costello?
No, I just felt it was important to get it on the record that with the change in approach that this bill takes, that we are still okay with the title that we had previously.
Any other further questions? Okay, so similarly, we are going to set this bill aside today and allow members to work It's really all we're doing, by the way, in the Senate Judiciary Committee is working on Senate Bill 30. And so we're excited to have this draft. Hillary, I want to say thank you to you. I really appreciate your patience. I appreciate your work on this. It's very difficult to draft legislation, and it's even more difficult when it comes as a result of direct democracy, to then comport with how we draft our statutes and then and all those things. And so I thank you for, I'm sure you have spent hundreds and hundreds of hours at this point, and you are also a state servant, and I appreciate very much the work that you've done. And Jeff, welcome to the team. We look forward to talking with you more as well. We're going to bring this bill back up at the start of the hearing on Wednesday, and this will be all that we deal with from here on out. And for the public that's watching, we will have public testimony. There will be opportunities for Alaskans to weigh in. With that, I'll just open it up. Is there any other further question from members of the committee? Senator Coghill.
And thank you for the work that you've done. I guess it would be fair to say that at this point, instead of having it narrowly crafted like we did previously, this says it's legal under all circumstances, but if you have impairment issues or misconduct issues, this is going to go through all of our statutes. So, but we did have to make a couple of decisions. So starting in Section 50, we don't have to do it today, but since we're going to be dealing with the kind of the misconduct and some of those rules, for example, the first degree, the second degree, we started off at the 4 ounce, and my guess is probably because of the Raven issue. And so as we work through those, I want to make sure that we understand that correctly, because this is how we're going to deal with it, the best I know how. And that was the first thing I saw. Beyond that, I didn't catch much else. but that's the starting place in the first degree, and it looks to me like it's Hillary or Jeff can tell us, you know, the levels of proof, what is going to be required under those circumstances, because it has to do with an ounce of marijuana. It has to do with how many plants. And those are very, very different things. And so as we look in this, I just want to be able to go through each degree and say what does each one of those mean. Because I think in all the driving statutes, we had controlled substance. We just replaced with marijuana. Because instead of having it now as a controlled substance, it's now just a regulated issue. So that's the big difference. The rest of it is going to be these statutes, in my mind, as a central theme to what we're doing. And it really falls heavy on the definition, once again, of marijuana. Because, I'll get into it, because I'll have questions on how do we fit that definition to these degrees. So for what it's worth, those listening, that's going to be a place where I'll start. And so, Madam Chair, maybe there's something else you want to describe on how you might see this in taking it in chunks. To me, that's where I would start, but however you want to do it, I'm game, because there are so many sections in here, but they do fall into large categories, I think.
I think that's an excellent idea. We've been talking about this in our office, and so one of the things that will help is Wednesday, the sectional analysis will be complete. So that's really going to help you go through it. I like the idea of starting with Section 50. As you've indicated and Hillary has indicated, that's the meat of it. That's where we're truly beginning to regulate marijuana as alcohol, if you will. It's its own substance, and so we're looking at where are the places where an Alaskan's individual liberty crosses over into another Alaskan's, essentially. And then what we're doing is we're creating crimes associated with that and penalties that come with that. And so I think starting with Section 50 is the right thing to do. And I'd like to get the initiative sponsors on record, too, as they begin to make their way through this as well this week. You know, Wednesday and Friday, Amy, you can coordinate with them. But you're absolutely right. So the challenge for us, one, is in regulating it, are these the crimes that you think there should be for this substance of marijuana? And think of it like alcohol. You know, where don't you want alcohol abused or used? And then is the penalty the right one? And that's the appropriate thing for the Judiciary Committee. And then on the other part of the bill, what I would say is, are there places where, because we've removed it as a controlled substance, and before there were absurd results, we were given the one about someone could be smuggling in alcohol, lots of alcohol, smuggling in cigarettes, et cetera, and that would be a violation, but if it were marijuana, it would be a felony. But now you've got the opposite issue, which is that in removing the definition of a controlled substance, you now may have a circumstance that you'd like to see, though, really addressed strongly, where, because it's marijuana. So that's another part of what our job is in the first sections of the bill, places where marijuana itself is defined as marijuana, not as a controlled substance. Is there a part where it was a controlled substance that you think, as a lawmaker, there ought to be some kind of extra penalty or different penalty associated with it, and why? So that's how I would sort of break apart the philosophical challenge that we have ahead of us. Anything from members? Senator Machicki.
Just a, well, not so brief a comment. I do, and I want to thank you for your attempts so far. I think they were honorable, and I agree this is the right turn, but I understand your logic in the first attempt as well. But I do recommend that the public review, and it's always interesting when the public reviews actual legislation because they'll learn a lot. And in this case, they'll learn the public wants us, made it clear, 53% of Alaskans made it clear they want to regulate marijuana like alcohol. But this bill, particularly in the beginning sections, talks about some of the limitations, such as skiing. It's not legal to move uphill in a tramway while being impaired by alcohol or marijuana. It covers those nursing licensing. It's they may deny, suspend, or revoke the license of a person who habitually uses alcoholic beverages or marijuana. A pawnbroker may not knowingly complete a transaction with someone under the influence of alcohol or marijuana. I mean, there are a lot of effects.
Yes.
That we do want the public to review these, because in meeting the intent of the law, it sort of by default brings you into all those other transactions that were a part of marijuana, I mean, a part of alcohol as well. So just kind of interesting when I started reviewing this. Same thing with firearms transactions and things like that. It's the public should review this, because it's a really great reminder of the things that you likely shouldn't engage in under the influence of either substance. And anyway, thanks for your work on this. I know it's been exhaustive, and we're just getting started.
No, that's excellent comments from Senator Machicki, and it's a way of thinking about it that this committee is. The first attempt was to just create a defense, because in looking at all these other areas, we were going to have to really address our marijuana policy. But what we heard was that was inconsistent. And so this is really, truly, if we complete this, you've done yeoman's work. Because this is our attempt in working with the public to say, where does marijuana fit and the use of marijuana within our society? And where does it appropriately sit? From your residential use to the possession outside of it, and where does that cross over into other people's rights? And so it's much more comprehensive. And as Senator Machicki said, on the one hand, we've removed some absurd results, where as a controlled substance, you may have had a very high crime associated with the possession of marijuana or use of marijuana. On the other hand, now, in places where being impaired under a mind-altering substance of alcohol, we're also saying being under the influence of marijuana may lead to an equal result. We've put it there. So it's certainly new and complex.
Anything?
One more question for you, Madam Chair. It looks to me, so in meeting the intent, the voters' intent, our goal through Senate Bill 30 is legalizing possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana, transporting up to 1 ounce of marijuana, all of the no public use things that were in the initiative. However, we're still in a Raven situation for securing marijuana, where it has to magically appear until the licensing regulations are formed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So it's really important. I know you kind of gave the warning. You may have given it in a way that every Alaskan doesn't understand. But so you're still in a Raven situation for purchasing marijuana, which means it's not legal until the licensing is complete. But our goal is to meet the deadline required by the initiative that by February 24th it's legal to possess.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you.
That's absolutely right. Senator Wilikowski.
Thank you. And appreciate the work you've done on this. It's a 92-page bill. I've just been skimming it right this last half hour or so. But a couple areas I think we could really use some input from the public. One is the use of medical marijuana. And I think we're in a unique situation here because with alcohol, with cocaine, heroin, you don't use those things for medicinal reasons. But with medical marijuana, you do. And so I think some of the things that we may be banning sort of get into a real complicated area there. Also, one of the things I noticed, we're getting into an area now where we're going to let police officers, with alcohol you can administer a breath test, which is not too invasive, but with marijuana we're now giving police with probable cause the right to administer a blood test or a urine test, which is much more invasive. So I think that's an area I'd be interested in hearing from the public on. And then also just the penalty question, where you have potential penalties for kids. It appeared to me, and I mentioned that a few times, like that we may be criminalizing children's conduct when I think the trend has been to try to rehabilitate those kids and have a little lesser penalty. So those are a couple issues that jumped out at me, but I do appreciate the work that's been done on it.
Excellent comment, Senator Wilikowski, and I would like us to pay particular attention to all three areas. Places where medical marijuana overlaps, certainly, the search and seizure issue, and the issue of young people receiving a violation and a chance or a direction toward rehabilitation versus criminalization, and how we do treat alcohol. So all those things are there. I want to say a huge thank you to Amy Saltzman and to Jordan Schilling. They have put in so much work. I can't even tell you. This has been their life. So I neglected to thank them, and I want to thank them for what they've done for all of us. And then I just want to be sure that you all know that you have access to the resources of Jeff Pickett and Hillary Martin as well. So don't feel as if, and to Amy and to Jordan, and I think some of you have taken advantage of that. We have a staff working group, but it's going to take all hands on the deck. So I thank you for that, and just let you know. Senator Machicki?
I do have a brief question, and it's the third issue that Senator Wilikowski brought up, because I have heard from the public about the a better option for youth usage. And I'm new to judiciary, to revise alcohol legislation. I assume that could occur within this bill as well, or does it require a separate piece of legislation?
Well, the short answer is, so long as it doesn't violate the single subject rule, and then I would say, then you'd have to have somebody challenge it, and the court would probably say it's a political question. So I always caveat that. Yes, you can put anything you want in a bill, but then there's the kind of the political possibilities, which I would say, depending on how far you want to go with that issue, probably better in a bill by itself if you think there's going to be detraction, because it could hamstring a bill. But that's a conversation we can have later. And maybe it's something that people are kind of coalescing around universal change in the way that we do treat minors that have substance abuse issues. That's been kind of the trend with Senate Bill 64, actually. And so maybe we do have that kind of an interest, and it would fit in here. But that's kind of how I gauge whether I put something in a bill or not is, you know, how heavy is it going to get?
Yeah.
Senator Crockett?
And thank you. I've heard from drafters and from lawyers both that the Title IV, the alcohol issues, they need to be dressed up a little bit. And so if you add alcohol to this title, I think you go off. And so, but that being said, both minor consuming issues and some of our penalties and requirements don't always fit well. And so I don't know if something's going to come from the governor. I've been studying it in my office. I must tell you that is as big as this as a problem goes. You know, so but it is something that probably if we can narrowly scope. But as soon as you add alcohol to this title, I think you go haywire.
Senator Machicki?
Yes, Madam Chair, I have been reviewing parts of the Title IV rewrite, and I guess that's kind of my main message is if the Title IV rewrite comes from the administration and becomes challenged, it may require, I would hope that we're kind of dovetailing in that effort because that's exactly mm-hmm. what it does with youth
yeah.
offenses. So we may have to sort of keep an eye on its yeah. progress
Absolutely. So there's consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, thank
Great.
You.
Very thoughtful committee hearing. Thank you to my awesome members. With that, we're adjourned.